I've been able to become a advocate, not just for women in Bahrain, but for women here in the UAE and just people in general, you know.
And you're listening to CSR of One on Amaya FM. We hope you're enjoying the season so far and would love to hear how you're using your social media to help others. Give us a shout on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search for CSR of One. Women's safety, especially in terms of dangerous domestic situations, continues to be a talking point around the world. And on today's episode, we sit down with Georgie Bradley at Brambles in Barsha Heights, the alliteration was unintentional, I promise, to talk about her involvement with a path-breaking organization that handles crisis response for women out of Bahrain.
Crisis response is providing emotional support and informational support for victims of domestic violence and sexual violence. It's a very nuanced and specific service. It's not quite ER, it's not quite long-term therapy. It's a kind of buffer between the two. So you help a victim out between the time of the incidents and longer term therapies. Now, I had no idea that I would ever get involved in something like this. It was never something that was in the cards for me.
The Women's Crisis Care International, or WCCI, was started by Mary Justine, MJ as Georgie calls her, as part of her ongoing philanthropic work, which also includes her involvement with the International Rescue Committee. Having moved to Bahrain after marriage in 2015, MJ set up the WCCI in the country, now offering crisis response in both English and Arabic through a network of volunteers. And what kicked it off for Georgie was a chance meeting with MJ.
We actually met under very different circumstances. I'm in the media and we were at a roundtable event and she was there representing a different organization, but we got to chatting about separate issues and topics and we kind of joined forces as like-minded people and became thick friends. And then over time, I got to know what she is involved with. And then over lunch, she said, I'm training up advocates to become crisis counselors for women victims of domestic and sexual violence. Are you interested? Now, that sounded very heavy to me. And I thought that's going to be a lot more than I can handle, you know, biting off more than I can chew. And then she said, look, just try if you want, if you're interested in getting educated in this area of life, because I had no idea. You know, it's a very, it can be quite a dark topic, but it can also be incredibly enlightening because it's on human dynamics, right? And then I trained up and started taking shifts and became a lot more involved in community awareness and public outreach and engagement. And my role grew and grew, and eventually I became a kind of program assistant. And I did some workshops. I used to give speeches and kind of raising the profile of the organization. Really fascinating because I got to interact with people on a cultural level and have a conversation which very much doesn't happen, you know. And there was quite a bit of backlash, you know. I was put on the spot and caught out a number of times because it involves looking at a country from a less than favorable perspective. And so obviously defenses can go up, but what we were trying to do was educate and bring awareness to something that exists across the world. It's not pinpointing one single country because it's, I mean, statistically, 1 in 3 women across the world will be victims of domestic and sexual violence.
Those are some harsh numbers, and all the more reason why cases like this shouldn't be swept under the rug. We absolutely need more of these organizations across our region, because they can have a truly positive impact.
There was one survivor who I had helped who I didn't keep in touch with. She was similar to me in age, so that really struck a chord because I could really put myself in her situation. And a year later, she signed up to become an advocate. Now, we oftentimes say be careful because it can be very triggering unless you are 100%, I don't want to say over it, but unless you have the correct coping mechanisms and ways of dealing with it and able to park it and use it for the greater good of helping others, that's absolutely fine. And she came and she shone like a star. She was amazing. And it was just incredible to see that come full circle. But also on top of that, what I loved about WCCI was being able to take it on a more regional stroke international level. Mary Justine was summoned to carry out a workshop in Kuwait on domestic and sexual violence, just as a way to impart information and educate young activists in Kuwait. And she asked me to be her right-hand woman, and I went with her and carried out some workshops to young students. And we involved and incorporated theatre as a means to provide and communicate that positive messaging, and it was incredible. I was there for 10 days. I learned so much, and I was still in my full-time job. I mean, I literally took it off as annual leave because it was so important to me, and I learned a lot about Kuwait and the relationship between Kuwait and Bahrain, and, you know, what kind of information is out there, what isn't out there, and how much work there is to be done and how much work has already been done. It was fascinating. I loved it.
When we return, the tough realities of crisis response and how you can get involved. Stay with us.
Hey guys, I just wanted to let you know about this other show we've been doing. It's an Amaya FM original called Tales of the Trade, where we feature Dubai's entrepreneurs and pioneers and the stories behind the ideas that they've brought to life. You can find out more, check out our episodes, and even subscribe in this very player, or you can look us up on the web by visiting talesofthe.trade.
As there are many initiatives and stories we'd like to share, CSR of One asks the community to consider sponsoring our show to help support us. Please contact CSR of One at amaya.fm. Welcome back. You're listening to CSR of One with Georgie Bradley. An interesting theme that came out as we spoke to Georgie was how WCCI and its team focus on enabling and guiding, clearly distinguishing how to support women versus telling them what to do, a distinction that Georgie believes is key to helping women going through domestic crisis.
Crisis counseling and response is very different and nuanced. Like I said, it's that buffer between the event, the incident, and then longer-term therapies. We provide the emotional and informational support. So a typical situation might be, I get a call, a woman has come in, maybe not with a battered eye or head, you know, this is not just on a physical, it can be psychological, it can be emotional, it can even be technological, do you know what I mean? It does cut across so many different sort of verticals in life. And I'll go to the hospital, I'll sit with her and say, tell me what you would like to do moving forward. I mean, this is after perhaps calming her down and providing her a hand to hold. Sometimes the simplest act of care can go such a long way, like giving a hand to hold or just saying, you didn't deserve this, you know, re-empowering her. And the whole point is to not tell her what to do. It's to help guide her towards what she wants to do. And I say she because we work only with women. We would love to work with men, but we're not there yet. Because in America, MJ worked between men and women because it cuts across both genders. And but obviously, we've had to kind of adapt to the cultural context of where we are and be sensitive to the kind of segregation of society here. And so I would tell her, look, what is your main goal? What would you like to do? Because most oftentimes, women cannot just leave off the bat because it's incredibly dangerous. There are a lot more consequences at stake than you might think. And at the end of the day, she knows the perpetrator best. As much as we come in with our theoretical knowledge on the dynamics of sexual and domestic violence, well, we help guide her to make small little goals to achieve incrementally to get to the big goal. And that can take years.
Maybe first locally and then expanding regionally. How best do others get involved? If maybe they want to be an advocate or if they just want to be a part of the bigger kind of actions which need to take place, you know, in the space of violence against women.
I think there are enough workshops and public seminars that discuss this on some level here. At least in terms of women empowerment. You know, it's all the right messaging. It might not be specific to domestic violence because obviously this is a taboo subject and there's only so far you can only go so far with it. But I think if you have the right mindset and the right approach and want to be a good person, you can embody the key tenets of being an advocate anywhere in the world.
So would you say that your background, anybody could be trained up as an advocate?
Anybody, whatever background, whatever educational background you've come from, anybody. That's the thing. It didn't exclude people of different various degrees or experience in said field. It's very non-denominational.
So even without training, so you could go, you could have official training, you could just go in your community and go to events that are...
Do you know what I do? I YouTube everything. If I ever want to reinstill myself with positive messaging and just more information and different perspectives, I will TED Talk it. I will search for workshops online and seminars and just learn from what other people in the world are doing, because although the unifying idea is to provide a kind of care and be open and kind of kind and emotional and empathetic, you can see it played out across so many different cultures. And, you know, just listen and learn from the ideas that people are putting out there. I always YouTube, always. For me, YouTube is such an educational tool.
Were there any, or are there any annual or upcoming events with WCCI? Did you do any annual kind of events on the calendar to reach out to the community, or was it just an ongoing chapter?
Yeah, I mean, there were always ways to bring that messaging forward. We organized quite a few fundraisers, and we organized yoga days, so bringing together wellness and a darker subject.
I am very fortunate. I'm in a loving, committed relationship. So how do people find out? Because obviously, because it's so taboo, especially where we are, how do women find out about these services? How are they made available to, how do we know that door's open, that I can call somebody, an advocate can come? How do we know?
Well, in Bahrain, their social media strategy is on overdrive. They do such a great job. I mean, there's no issue of it being invisible or lack of publicity. It's very much in the newspapers. Every time that there's a big event, the local newspapers across English and Arabic, because, oh, that's the other thing, it's available in Arabic as well. Yeah, and that's a recent venture for them. So MJ has got the right people on board to take that forward, because she's not an Arabic speaker, but she has the kind of the different cohorts from the English and Arabic side working symbiotically to provide the service in both languages in equal measure with the same level of empathy and compassion. Obviously, there are certain nuances between the two. That's more on a cultural level. But in terms of the public awareness, it's very much in the public's conscience. People know about it. And because it's the first and only crisis response service, not only in Bahrain, but in the region, it really does stand out. What we did a couple of years ago when we first started out, we did a club crawl, meaning we went from one club to another in maybe the more seedy parts of town, and we stuck flyers on the back of toilet doors.
So really, really organic kind of getting in.
I mean, of course, some of them, they were torn down by management, but I actually went back to a club, not because I wanted to hang out there, but because I wanted to see if it had some staying power. And I kid you not, the sticker for 24/7 crisis response for WCCI was still stuck behind one of the toilet doors. Yeah, it was so incredible.
So if we kind of look to the future, you know, in a perfect world, would you see these kind of crisis centers exist everywhere in the region?
I hope so. I can only imagine that this is a force for good right now. And it's kind of trickling from the down up, if that makes sense, as opposed to the top down. People, they are being educated. They are being brought to light about it. And I think that can only be a good thing. I think there are enough people in this region who are like-minded in that way to want to do good and bring that forward. It just takes a little bit of time. MJ always says it's like moving a mountain. It really is, because you have to educate and re-educate. And you know what? Habits, they take, and just mentalities, they take a long time to unlearn and then relearn. Because, I mean, they say a habit takes 66 days to unlearn or form. But when, you know, when you're talking about a cultural phenomenon, that is no mean feat.
To Georgie leaves little doubt that similar support groups for women and men should be available everywhere in our region and in the world at large. The Women's Crisis Care International seems like a step in the right direction. If you're interested in learning more about WCCI, please visit womenscci.org, which has support in English and Arabic. This episode was hosted by me, Courtney Brandt, and produced by Chirag Desai. You can find out more information about the show by visiting our website, amaya.fm/CSR of One, and also follow us on Instagram. Until next week, remember to be nice out there on social media. Think about sharing something for someone else. Goodbye and take care.